Hello, everybody, and welcome to another I Could Talk Kayfabe. This is what we do here on this podcast. I'm Joe.
And I'm Sean.
And we're going to talk kayfabe. So in the last episode,
yep,
we alluded to this NWF promotion that you were telling me about.
Yeah.
And I just watched some of it. And I just saw that.
That's a thing. I told you, it kind of blows your mind because it's 80s wrestling, but it's like barely produced, you know. But here's the thing too, the audiences, there's like huge audiences for this.
Well,
the crowds,
we don't know how huge they are. They could just look big on camera.
That's true.
But there was this documentary.
Well, it's phrased as a documentary, but yeah, it's more of like a commercial for this promotion.
And they just show Abdullah the Butcher like killing these guys.
Well, first of all, you have to point out, it starts off basically like, it's called, was it Blood Scars or Scar Bloods, whatever. It's something about documentary. It's a documentary about the violence in wrestling. And the announcer's like, pro wrestling is awesome, and wrestlers are arriving in arenas in big cars and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, but sometimes pro wrestling gets violent.
And then Abdullah the Butcher stabs a guy with a fork. and then like, oh, then this guy, he took a chair to the head and he was bleeding and he's okay.
Yeah.
But then they show this other poor guy who they carry him out of the end of the back, and then you see these two like EMTs in the back.
I don't know if they're EMTs,
just two random ladies. One of them looked like Rhea Perlman. And they're like checking his pulse, and they're like, oh shit, can't we get this guy a pillow?
could somebody help this guy? And they're just moving this, sliding this guy around, and because apparently he hit the floor, and he had the back of his head split open, and he was bleeding everywhere. And like, that's the thing, is like, Abdullah the Butcher is, you know, walking around, you know, is in these clips, and he's beating the fuck out of these poor jobbers. He's burying them with chairs, like just slapping them on there, and it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And like, you know, the announcing is just like, their faces are raw meat, and it's just
fast forward to the guy Drake, and then he becomes a mad dog and he eats raw meat.
he eats actual raw dog.
Yeah, they killed the dog. They like ran over a dog on the side of the road. And then his manager, Damien, and him are eating the dog in front of Paul Ellering, who's trying to conduct the...
Paul Ellering. Yeah. Actually, Paul Ellering would have taken much bigger offense being an Iditarod competitor.
Yeah.
He would have had something to say about that. He probably would have hit him with the Wall Street Journal that he carries.
Yeah. This is a very young Paul Heyman who was conducting the interview.
Yeah. This was like Paul Heyman, like... I think this was his very first gig,
yeah,
like as a personality, because like, you know, he eventually went on to AWA after this. But yeah, it's something. If you look up NWF Wrestling 1991, you'll find it. It says it's 2 hours long. It is not 2 hours long. It's because somebody just uploaded a 2 hour long thing that somebody just recorded on a tape. But it's really the bit itself is maybe like an hour, 45 minutes. But it's worth your time, I think, just to see it, because it's ridiculous. And we're gonna have to post it on the Facebook page. So yeah, you'll have to check that out. I Could Talk Kayfabe on Facebook. So.
Yeah, we will post it on the page when we post this podcast. We'll post it along with it, I guess. So look for it on the page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to find more. I got to find more stuff. I came across another Tennessee promotion.
Yeah,
that's not the one that we Southeastern Championship Wrestling.
No, which was
this one was the United Universal Wrestling Champion. It's UCW, so Universal Championship Wrestling, and it is a version of George Gulas's promotion. So George Gulas, the old Memphis promoter, that, you know, would go, I guess he was there before the Jarretts or whatever. Well, this is a promotion that he did.
Oh, okay.
So, or something that it was in
after he was strong-armed out of the Memphis territory.
Yes.
He started his own.
Yeah, and he started a shitball promotion with a guy named his big baby face was a black guy named Peaches.
Oh, okay.
Who wins with a shitty backdrop. He literally wins. And I think you'll appreciate this. He wrestles. Remember California Championship Wrestling?
Yeah.
Remember Budokan?
Yeah.
Imagine him, but like bigger and fatter.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And imagine him not having any wrestling experience with the exception of a guy running at him and taking a backdrop and then pinning him like he's folding him. He takes the guy's legs and folds them over and sits on the guy's ass while the guy's shoulders are on the ground.
Oh.
And that's, and then he's like the big face. I'm not probably describing it properly, but I'll post this on the Facebook one too. We'll have to talk about, you'll have to watch it. We'll talk about it next time we talk.
Okay. Yeah. Totally.
It's just something else. There is a treasure trove of promotions out there on YouTube. So thank you for people for uploading.
Yeah. If you are one of these guys who uploads it or know of a promotion that we should be checking out, please let us know. Hit us up. Post it on the Facebook page if you can. You guys can go ahead and post. You don't have to just reply to our comments or posts.
Or reply and post it there. Yeah.
You could post your own posts too. That's cool.
Yeah.
We're down with that.
Or find us on Twitter. Find us wherever you can.
Yeah, find us wherever you can. Twitter, Instagram, a Tumblr. I don't even think I know my Tumblr password, but
I do have a Tumblr. The Angry Hero at Tumblr.things.
Yeah.
So, we'll definitely have to check out more of that stuff. But let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about our book for the week.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? Bad. I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
And we are back on I Could Talk Kayfabe, and we are going to be talking about another issue of The Wrestler. Back-to-back issues of The Wrestler.
Yeah.
Here. And this one's from January of 87.
So what happened basically was last week, you know, last time we taped the show, I borrowed a few books from Joe, and I borrowed these wrestlers. We haven't done a wrestler yet, and I read both of these, the one that we did last week and this one we're doing this week, and it's just a good magazine.
Yeah,
this is like their flagship magazine for a long time.
Well, Pro Wrestling Illustrated was the flagship,
but before PWI, it was The Wrestler.
Oh, okay, yeah,
it was because that one I think was around the longest.
Oh well, The Wrestler was good, and I wish they still had The Wrestler, but they kind of fell by the wayside.
Yeah,
it was a good magazine. Then what was that other one they had, and they combined them into one magazine, The Wrestler and something else.
It was Inside Wrestling. They eventually combined them both towards the end.
Yeah, and then that one's gone. Now it's just Pro Wrestling Illustrated. But The Wrestler was, when I was a kid, The Wrestler was like, that was a great magazine to sit there and read at the newsstand.
Yeah.
So at Wegmans while my mom shopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a dope one. So we had to talk about it because there's some good stuff in this one. So on the cover, you got Bobby Heenan's bitter crusade to destroy Hulk Hogan.
But you have a picture of Hulk Hogan like pulling Heenan by the hair. And so Bobby Heenan is not destroying Hulk Hogan.
This doesn't look like a WWF photo.
No, look, because if you look at Hulk Hogan's knee pads, they're black.
Yeah.
And he's got like a drawstring in his trunks.
And he's got a darker tint to his mustache.
Yeah.
He is not.
This has got to be AWA photo, even though they're using it in the WWF time.
Yeah. So because it would be like late 86. I think it's like November 86 something.
Yeah, maybe
like
Hogan was feuding with Bockwinkel in this photo.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then you have underneath that, you have Misty Blue Sims. I'm going to say Sims.
Yeah.
Because it's S-I-M-M-E-S, but you could say Simmies or whatever.
Or Simes.
Simes. Misty Blue Sims. And she is, it says, can she save women's wrestling? In this case, no.
No, she didn't save women's wrestling.
She didn't do much. No. We'll talk about her when we get to her, but it looks like who is she, what is she doing here? Is she wrestling like a Russian man?
She's wrestling. Yeah, because it's like, it looks like it says CCCP on his jacket, and she's like kind of like giving him like an arm, like a headlock takedown.
Yeah, she's giving him a hip toss.
Yeah,
headlock takedown. Yeah,
yeah.
And then you also have introducing the Warlord.
Yeah, this is going to be great. This is the reason when I was looking at this book, and I'm like, yep, we're doing this one.
Yeah,
yeah.
They must make their choice now. Garvin versus Garvin or Garvin and Garvin?
I hope they chose the latter.
Why do they have to make a choice?
I don't want to see Garvin versus Garvin.
No, but why do they have to make a choice? Who the fuck are the wrestlers? Who the fuck is after to say? It's bullshit. At last, the world-class tag team title is filled. Yeah. Matt Bourne and Buzz Sawyer reign supreme.
Yeah.
And then at the very top, Ted DiBiase's paralyzing fear. I know I will die in the ring.
Just like his old man.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I remember, so back in the day when they had, and PWI would have an index. In the year-end issue, they have an index of all of like a bunch of wrestlers and say where they appeared in like all these magazines. It was a very extensive list, and I remember that title of this story being very prominent. I don't know why. It's just because it's a very stark title. If you're not ready for it, it takes you by surprise. So. But that's the cover. So let's get into this thing here. Let's talk about, let's just kind of go through here and see, you got your letters. This is actually, real quick, I do like these two quick letters here. Bass is a real man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure was.
Because he is wreaking, at the time, he is wreaking havoc on the Mulligan and the Wyndhams of Florida.
Oh.
So...
R.I.P. Ron Bass.
R.I.P. Ron Bass. Shit, I just remembered he died.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of R.I.P., introducing Bam Bam Bigelow, Bam Bam convert. So they are talking about him. I think it's another, actually, the other wrestler you have, which is the one where it covers the Magnum TA car crash.
Yeah.
And in that one, he just becomes Russian because he was Crusher Yurkov for a minute.
Oh.
And then he became Bam Bam again. So the other thing that they do in The Wrestler is corresponding reports. We didn't talk about it last episode, but in this one, they have a series of basically people will send in like a story, which basically you're sending in your own kind of kayfabe little story here. Sending in a thing about, hey, we... I went to this wrestling match, and this match was the big match, and I'm going to talk about it, and then it tells you the rest of the card. And then we've got to talk about in the other issue we did at The Wrestler, but there was a Pro Wrestling USA event in Niagara Falls, New York.
Yeah.
In 1986, which...
Must have been at the convention center.
Yeah.
Which is now a casino.
Yeah. No, I texted Joe.
Yeah, I went to a bunch of wrestling events there as a kid.
Yeah, I did not know that they came up here.
Neither did I, and I wish I would have known, because I would have taken advantage of that.
So, you asked us, basically, questions for Baby Doll, or Jim Cornette, and Terry Taylor, Jimmy Snuka. Yeah, Jimmy Snuka, again, always asking Jimmy Snuka what's going on. Troy Teague from Riverside, California asked, Jimmy Snuka, are you going to go for the AWA tag team belts? And he's like, nah, man.
He probably said, nah, brother.
Nah, brother. I'm just going to fly high. And
wait for Vince to call me back.
wait for this murder rap to blow away. Your thumbs up, thumbs down. Who's getting thumbed?
Rick Rude's getting the thumb up.
He's getting the thumb up because this is when he jumped from World Class to NWA.
Oh.
They were very excited that he did that.
Yeah.
And then Hacksaw got a thumbs up for saving Terry Taylor from a beating from Michael Hayes.
Oh.
Dusty got a thumbs up because Dusty had a rough go. He lost the TV title to Arn Anderson. Baby Doll turned on him.
Oh, man.
But he's still trying, he's still plugging away. A thumbs up for Jesse Ventura. So, because they're glad that he's back doing announcing.
Oh, he must have taken time off.
Or actually, I think this is when he first started announcing.
Oh, he was announcing at WrestleMania. WrestleMania.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Maybe it's when he took time off to film Predator or something.
Yeah.
Then he came back.
So, thumbs down to Roddy Piper for smashing up the flower shop.
Oh, come on. That deserves a thumb up. That flower shop needed to go.
actually, he doesn't say anything about the flower shopper. I think it's around that time, but they're just giving him shit. I don't know why. Thumbs down to Rod Bass. That other guy would be very upset.
Yeah, he sure letters. Would. He's wearing a sweet hat in that.
That is a nice hat.
Yeah.
That is a dope hat. Thumbs down to Nikita Koloff.
Yeah.
For basically not defending the U.S. title against Wahoo McDaniel when Wahoo wanted to fight. And they're like, well, Wahoo, you won't fight. You know, and same thing for Nick Bockwinkel. He gets a thumb down. He's only been wrestling. He's a face at this time, but he's only been wrestling in non-title matches.
Put that title on the line, Nick.
God damn it, Nick. Okay, so here we go.
Introducing the Warlord.
Okay, first of all, introducing the Warlord with hair.
He's got hair.
He's got great hair.
And he's from Chicago.
Yes, that's true.
I always thought he was from parts unknown.
No, he was from. I think they always build him from Chicago.
He's from Chicago in this article. Or in his origin. So he's, because they're talking about the Chicago Bears and all the great athletes that came from Chicago, and now there's the Warlord.
Well, okay, so here's the deal. Davey Dowell just turned on Flair, or turned on Dusty to join Flair.
Yeah.
And Davey Dowell apparently is managing the Warlord, because he just debuted in, like, Central States and, like, World Championship Wrestling. And they were talking about, well, this is back, I guess, back when she was with Dusty. And I guess, like, she's like, well, I had a day off. I'm doing, it's basically the Warlord's a business for her on the side.
Oh, okay.
Because he's like, I had a day off, and I was window shopping on Lakeshore Drive in Chicago, and I saw this huge man on the other side of the street. He had a scowl on his face that scared the skirt off of me. Oh, boy. Even from 100 yards away. She could see him from 100 yards away. She could see him across a football field.
Not only could she see him 100 yards away, but it scared her so much her skirt flew off of her.
And he was across the street. Yeah. So try to imagine, like, you're standing at one end of a football field and you're across the on the other side and you could see a man's face perfectly.
And your skirt flies off.
I mean, I could see that. Maybe it's a clear day. Okay. You know, she's got good eyesight.
Yeah.
I told my friend to wait 3 minutes. She said, uh-oh, you've got that look in your eye. You can't you ever think anything else but wrestling? She knows it's my life, and she didn't try to stop me. So I walked over and tried to say hello. He just grunted and walked away.
Oh, that sounds like the Warlord. Classic Warlord.
classic Terry Sopczynski. I yelled out at him, how would you like to be a wrestler? He stopped and turned around and said, what do you know about wrestling? And I told him who I was, and I gave him my card. I told him that if he wanted to make a lot of money, he should call me. About a week later, oh, good.
No, I was just going to say, like, she was a big enough name back then that if he knew anything about wrestling, he should have known who he was talking to.
Yeah, fuck the Warlord.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, Warlord, get your shit together. About a week later, Baby Doll said, the big guy called her at her Charlotte office. He said, I'm ready. That's all he said.
That's all he needs to say. He's the Warlord.
I told him to go get out of O'Hare, to get out of O'Hare and catch the next flight down here. He said there'd be a ticket waiting for him. And then he started training.
Who do I make the ticket out to? Make it out to the Warlord.
Make it out to first name War, last name Lord. Or no, first name The, last name Warlord.
Am I allowed to bring a metal stick with a W on the end of it? Can that get through the airport?
Can I check these shoulder pads? Sir, you're going to have to remove the metal mask from the.
Oh, this is bullshit. It's only half my face. You can see the other half.
You got to put. You have to put the metal mask in the tray ahead of time. And also, you're going to have to remove your boots. He's just walking through in his trunks. just like the Warlord. Do I have to check Slick? Do I have to check him too? Because he's in my suitcase. They open it up. It's just Slick. It's like, I'm the brother.
Hey, brother. Hey, my brother.
Yeah, this checks out.
Why do you have a little black man in your suitcase?
Before he does, would it be nice to know his real name? According to Baby Doll, we'll never will.
Oh, I don't want to know his real name.
And then he just calls him the Warlord, and he's been in Central States, and he's got some skills, but he lacks charisma.
Well,
Baby Doll really admits.
You don't need charisma when you're the Warlord.
No, you just need that metal stick. That's all you need. And, yeah, basically, you know, we just get a little, you know, to some notes here about how, you know, he's going to learn, you know, and he needs to train several hours a day. You know, I guess the dream Dusty trained with him a bit. Ric Flair ain't got time, though.
No, of course not.
No, fuck, well, look at that. What is
the champ?
No, have him train with, like, Dusty Wolf.
Yeah.
Or something.
Or, you know? Pez Watley.
Pez Watley, yeah. Pay Pez Watley to train with the Warlord. You need to get him some seasoning. So, but he's in Central States, and he's tearing it up. And then here's the picture that I think kind of took, I didn't realize this, and it took you aback.
Yeah.
So here he is locking up with then known as Conga the Barbarian, aka the Barbarian.
Yeah.
And I didn't know they wrestled each other at any point.
There must have been some point where they were wrestling each other so much, and they're like, you know what? I respect you. I respect what you could do. We need to form a tag team, and we'll call ourselves the Powers of Pain.
Here's some face paint.
And yeah, the Warlord was like, I like that idea. You see what the Road Warriors are doing? I'll shave my head just like theirs, and we can rip them off.
And then we can feud with them, and then not, and then refuse to take a job off a scaffold.
Yeah.
But first, we have to hit Animal in the eye with a weight. Crack his face. I'm trying to figure out why they would be, like, the Barbarian would be wrestling the Warlord, but because I figured I thought they were both heels.
There must have been a brief face run by the Barbarian.
I can think of. Where that would be, I don't know. Was this in Polynesia?
Maybe.
You know what? That's probably the thing. You can kind of do matches there, and they don't matter.
Yeah.
They just happen. So
the only face run I know of the Barbarian having was when he became Sione the Head Shrinker.
Was he kind of a face at some point in WCW when the Powers of Pain? Like when they were, well, not the Powers of Pain, but the Faces of Fear when they were kind of up against the outsiders and stuff.
Yeah, but then there was also, they started in WWF as Faces, the Powers of Pain. I completely, when they were managed by Baron Von Raschke.
Also,
yeah.
Are you aware, no, here's a bit of trivia that maybe you may or not be aware of. But in a very early episode of 1996 Nitro, there was a match between Flair and Luger. I'm not Flair. Flair and Sting and Luger against a team called the Assassins, mm-hmm. or Super Assassins, managed by Colonel Robert Parker. And it is the Barbarian and the Warlord under masks.
Oh, wow.
And they're yellow masks and sleeveless shirts. And, you know, basically, you know, They wrestled a few matches.
Wow.
in NWA. I think they did a few squashes, and Barbarian stuck around, and I think Warlord got into a car accident with a pizza delivery man.
Oh,
and he hasn't been around. I think he's alive still.
Was he delivering the pizzas?
No, I think he got. I think he got hit by a pizza guy, like a Domino's guy. So, you know, R.I.P. Domino's.
They're still around.
I know. I just RIP that guy's job.
Yeah.
The Warlord probably was not very happy, and I think he got hurt.
I think the Warlord probably would eat the pizzas.
You'd eat the pizzas, beat up the guy, and go back home.
Yeah.
That's a day in the life of the Warlord. So what else we got here? Oh, Q&A. Colonel DeBeers.
Yeah. Colonel DeBeers.
This is something else. This is basically, so Colonel DeBeers just started out, I think, at this time. You know, he's fairly new because Colonel DeBeers wasn't always around. It was always, you know, Ed Wiskowski or whatever, you know, whatever gimmick he was using. Ed Wiskowski was using in like late 86. He just became Colonel DeBeers, and he was like, hey, I'm a guy from South Africa and I'm a racist.
Yeah, he hates blacks.
He hates colored people. He will not wrestle with colored people. And it's a very awkward interview here with Craig Peters, who I also, I believe, is black.
Yeah.
And it's a very awkward read. There's nothing like slurs or anything like that. It's kind of weird, you know, the way that he does. Oh, Jesus Christ. He does say, shut your black mouth, you and your kind.
Yeah.
And then Craig Peters is like, what do you mean, my kind? He's like, you're always talking about free speech and the Free Amendment and civil rights and so forth. What about my civil rights? I'm like, oh, boy. First of all, you're not American, technically.
And he doesn't want to be forced to wrestle Jimmy Snuka. That's what he says.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got some serious heat. He was ahead of his time too, I guess, in doing the gimmick.
He should have went to Knoxville.
The beers. Yeah. Yeah. There's actually a great this past week's episode of Raven's podcast. He has a great story about Colonel DeBeers, or at least Ed Wiskowski doing, or he probably was doing the Colonel gimmick. And Ed Wiskowski, the man, was a funny, frugal man. He's still alive. So yeah, he's very interesting. And he gets a lot of high praise from a lot of guys for just kind of being, he's like a worker's worker, as you can say. But this was his gimmick, where he was being racist and telling Scott Hall he's on steroids. Yeah, because here he is going off on Scott Hall. He's like, let me tell you about Scott Hall. First and foremost, the man is a drug addict.
Yeah.
Which, ouch. Because I guess he called that one.
Yeah. He's like, use your common sense. Look at the man.
You know, I mean, you could say that about a lot of people in the 80s. Well, if you know of anything, you know, Scott Hall ought to be subjected to your analysis prior to each and every match. The man is a drug addict. And then Craig Peters says, now, wait a second. First of all, steroids aren't a drug per se. And second of all, labeling Hall as a drug addict could subject you to a charge of slander. And then he's like, look at the dictionary, idiot. Drug, it's right there. A drug is any chemical substance normally used in medicine. Just look in your dictionary. I know all about steroids, too. And I know that Scott Hall uses them, period. I've taken my case at the AWA board. But like yourself, they're a bunch of white trash who stick together and protect each other, so I don't have too many hopes of action. That's why I have to take action myself. And that answers your earlier question about Snuka. Sometimes you just have to take action yourself because others are too cowardly to do so. Again, very awkward interview.
Yeah, it is pretty awkward.
For a wrestling magazine, too, in the 80s. It's some heavy stuff.
And later on, they'll have a match where Scott Hall goes to the bank, takes out his money, and puts it up.
To the dictionary bank, look it up.
It's our ongoing running gag here, is Scott Hall going to the bank and withdrawing $10,000, and he's just like...
putting it in a bag.
I'll bring this right back.
Hey, Chico. Here, hold my change for collateral. I'll come back. So we get another X-ray with Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Not much to say here. Except for Bob Roop does replace...
Gene Kaniski. Yeah.
Bob Roop, who... he's not that old. All the other guys are really old.
Yeah, Bob Roop is like a contemporary to Roddy Piper.
However, though, it does raise the life expectancy here of the people on this thing here.
You've got two guys that are alive. Roddy Piper's dead. Well, so was Hercules Hernandez in the last issue.
Right,
so,
but here he is wrestling Tonga Kid. Kid's still alive. So we're up a bit. We're up two people. So because Bob Roop's still alive and Tonga, and as well as Bruno. So all right, spotlight.
Spotlight on Jimmy Snuka because it's the 80s and it's Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah, so we just get a lot of pictures of Jimmy Snuka's career.
Yeah.
You know, things that he's done. So
yeah, nothing current. Well, as current as of 87.
At last, the world-class tag team title is filled. Not really much to say here other than somebody won a title.
Yeah, Matt Bourne and Buzz Sawyer. Congratulations, RIP to Matt Bourne and Buzz Sawyer and Percy Pringle.
Percy Pringle wearing one of the best suits. He's a well-dressed man.
That white jacket with the black stars.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
That's a good one. And I also want to point out here, and this is actually something I did not realize, but Kevin Sullivan was in this tournament in World Class. I didn't know he was in World Class for any length of time, because I think it was him and Mark. I knew Mark Lewin was, but yeah, Kevin Sullivan and Mark Lewin faced off against Bourne and Sawyer at one point in this tournament, which is actually, that's a match I want to see. That sounds like something I would like to watch. So, the Garvin versus Garvin, or Garvin or Garvin. They must make up their choice now.
Yeah. And then you've got the Garvins all over the place.
All Garvin all the time. I want to say I do enjoy old pictures of Jimmy and Ronnie Garvin from like the 70s, the early 70s, because that's how long they've been wrestling, which is blows my mind. Because like, I knew Ronnie was old, but I didn't know Jimmy was that old.
Yeah.
And they look drastically different. Like, you know, well, at least in this case, you know, Ronnie's rocking his Donald Trump hair.
Yeah.
And then you have Jimmy, who is a platinum blonde.
Yeah.
In the 70s. He eventually, you know, became, you know, probably used his real hair color, but he is clean shaven and platinum blonde. He's dressed like a, I could best describe as a cult member.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have Terry Garvin, who was, I think it was their kayfabe brother.
Yeah.
And that is the famous Terry Garvin of the WWF sex scandal.
I think Terry Garvin and Ron Garvin, they're all kayfabe brothers. But I think Terry...
Ronnie is Jimmy's shoot stepdad.
Yeah, shoot stepdad. But like they were, Terry and Ronnie were brothers, and then he was billed as the younger brother,
right,
when he came in.
But he was really his son.
And it was really his son.
Yeah. That's how old Ronnie Garvin is.
Yeah.
Which is weird because, you know, he came into WWF and he was old then too.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know how old he is. I know he's still alive, so but yeah. Somebody once described him, I think, as the Barney Rubble of wrestling. And you know what? They're right.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe him.
But basically, it's something where they're in the NWA together, and you know, this is still when Jimmy's a heel and he's feuding with Wahoo. And the article poses the question, it's like, well, you know, why is Jimmy and, you know, what, and Ronnie's a face? How come Ronnie's not taking advantage of this? And you know, the article's like, you know, they ask both of them, they're like, hey, we're minding our own business. We don't have anything to do here.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, once the Midnight Express got involved and burned Ronnie's face, Jimmy took care of it. Which is, that's an awesome angle, by the way. It's good stuff. Bobby Heenan's bitter crusade to destroy Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And apparently this is... I didn't really say much here.
No, it's been ongoing.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing thing. He's always got guys and he's always feuding with Hogan and
Bobby's got a guy.
Now he's got Orndorff in his stable. Prior to that it was like Bundy and Stud and they were all going after Hogan.
Yeah. He had Patera at one point too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you see Hogan slamming Bobby Heenan in the one photo there.
Back in the AWA.
Yeah, that looks like another AWA.
No, it even says here, because it's talking about back in 83.
Yeah, I was going to say, because Hogan's wearing like red trunks in that photo, so.
Yeah, no, it's, so that's basically it. The Ted DiBiase's paralyzing fear.
Who knows, he's going to die in the ring.
Yeah.
He's still alive, and he's not an active wrestler, so... One would assume that he's probably not going to die in the ring, but you never know. You just never know.
What if he does? I mean, God forbid it happens where he's doing an appearance somewhere and he's signing autographs in the ring, and then he just drops over, and then somebody's going to post this article.
I will post.
Joe will post this article, and it'll say true underneath it because this is actually a very like intense article because there's going back to how the wrestlers. Just well done. There's a lot of like, just a very like descriptive prose about how he's standing in the hall, you know, in the way of the ring, and he's thinking about stuff, and he's in his own world, and just because he's terrified, you know, he's got these thoughts about dying in the ring and about his father, you know, and it's really heavy. It's pretty heavy stuff, you know, for a wrestling magazine. So, and I don't know who wrote this. I'm assuming Bill Apter did it. But
maybe it was Eddie Ellner.
Eddie Ellner's not real.
Oh,
I don't think Eddie was real. Was Eddie real? See, now I need to talk. Now, Stu Sachs, you listen to the show. Tell us, Stu Sachs, are you real? I think Stu Sachs.
Misty Blue Sims, can she save women's wrestling?
No, probably not.
You got a nice promo shot of her.
Yeah, Misty. So here's the thing about Misty Blue Sims. I didn't know this until recently, but she showed up on NWA TV. There was a thing when she was who the fuck was it feuding with? Who they feuding with? I think it was Dusty and the Garvins or whatever. They're feuding with somebody, the Midnight Express, and she showed up to like tell Jim Cornette. You know, how much she appreciated him, and she wanted to show him wrestling moves. Like, she just shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just to tell him, you know, tell him how great he is. And she lures him into the ring and, like, drop kicks him off the top rope. And then, you know, Jim gets all embarrassed and stuff. And, you know, it turns out that, you know, she was, you know, like, it was all planned between her and Dusty to embarrass Jim Cornette. But that was it. Like, I don't think she really, did anything other than, you know, other than that in NWA, because I mean, she went like she would. You would see if you read like Wrestling Eye and stuff like that, she was all over like the women's wrestling stuff. Like she would just be like the champ and stuff.
Yeah.
And there was like in wrestling, they actually do, I think they do women's wrestling ratings in here and she's on top of them. So.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she's saving women's wrestling.
Yeah. She's the Sasha Banks of 1987.
Yeah.
I also heard that she went on to do porn.
Oh.
That's alleged. I think maybe it, there were at least pictures of her. I don't know if before or after.
Well, there's a photo of her like lifting weights in a machine in this one, and it kind of leads me to believe that it's like a porn video.
You know, it kind of looks like it's shot from like a movie.
Yeah, it looks like it's because she's got like a different color leotard. Like she's got like a red, white, and blue stars and stripes leotard in all these photos, and then this one, she's got like an '80s like dance workout leotard. And it just leads me to believe that she was in those like. Girl fighting videos.
Yeah,
they advertise
the
kind of what it looks like.
Yeah. Also, apparently, she's from Glens Falls, New York.
Oh, maybe she's Jim Duggan's sister,
Lady Duggan. Well, it makes sense because she's all about the USA.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah. Or maybe she went to the prom with Jim Duggan.
Yeah, maybe.
I want to believe that. I want to believe this is like this is the next Robbinsdale, Minnesota high school.
Yeah.
Where all the wrestlers come out of, except it was just Glenn. It was just her and Duggan.
Yeah.
So okay. So he wanted to talk about.
Oh, this is just kind of interesting. Is Matt Brock's looking back, and they're showing photos of Jim Londis versus Jim Browning. From June of 1934, and they have like
Wrestle Jim.
They have the program, Madison Square Garden. It was at the other Madison Square Garden. I guess there was another one in Long Island, and
at the Madison Square Garden Bowl,
yeah, Bowl. To a finish, and it's just photos of like them like just stretching each other, and it's awesome, and I love it. And
yeah,
I don't even know who won. Let's see, Londos has his hand raised, and so he's the winner, and it's awesome, and I love it.
This match probably went on for like 5 days. Probably went on, and everybody stayed to the very end.
Yeah.
It was a really good match, guys.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was just Bruno Sammartino had such a hard on for this match.
Yeah.
He was probably watching.
Like, look at that one photo, and like he's taking him down, and like and then there's this one where he's stretching his ankle. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, these are great shots. I'm trying to make fun of this, but it's just great.
It looks like
classic wrestling.
Looks like a couple of these photos just looks like a Twister game gone bad. It's just like awesome.
And people want, but think of this, sold, probably did really well in the Madison Square Garden Bowls that people, you know, came to see this. And it was just these guys stretching each other and people just be like, fucking rip his arm off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could just imagine them like in the crowd going, stretch, stretch. That's what they chanted in the 30s. Stretch.
Did they really?
I don't know.
I don't know. I felt like there was some validity to that statement.
Yeah. Stretch.
So we have our ratings. And let's see here. Wendell Cooley making the NWA ratings.
Oh.
Wildcat Wendell Cooley from the Continental area.
RIP.
No, he's still alive.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Now you jinxed him. What else we got here?
Yeah, Silo Sam.
Silo Sam. Silo Sam is in the mix here. This is probably that brief time when he was there.
Yeah.
Also, Johnny Rich, brother of Tommy Rich, making it up, making an appearance. I have him in my game.
Brad Renegans is on there.
Renegans. I actually have, who do I have? I think I have, yeah, I have Johnny Rich and Boris Zukov in my game. And Ken Timms, future partner of Eric Embry. Let's see here. We also got WWF. We got all your usual suspects. Dick Slater in the ratings. He probably beat Don Morocco a few times to get above Don Morocco there.
There's the women's ratings. Next, we got the Sherry Martel's number one.
They basically just take the champions from all the women and just throw them up there. And so you got Sherry Martel, AWA champ, Wendy Richter, the World Wrestling Council champ.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she made it back from her Unsolved Mysteries trip.
Yeah.
And then you have our Misty Blue Sims, US and IWF women's champion. And then Moolah is number four, which she technically should be higher because she's the most, you know, incumbent champion, but she probably didn't really wrestle much. Velvet McIntyre, Linda Dallas, Leilani Kai, the All-Pacific Women's Champion.
Yeah.
Candy Devine, Debbie Combs, and Comrade Orca. So that's your women's championship, women's people. women's ratings. What else here? Oh, what's up?
You got a guy named Dirty Rhodes in the Mid-South.
Right. Okay, so actually, I think I know who that is. I think that is Southern Wrestling mainstay Roger Kirby doing a Dusty Rhodes gimmick of sorts.
Oh.
However, it somehow he also weighed the same and was from the same place as Dusty. I almost think. Yeah, because Dusty was 302. Only 302 from Austin, Texas. This guy is 306 from Austin, Texas.
Oh, okay.
So... maybe it's, yeah, it's kind of like, that's method acting in wrestling.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
You've also got Tommy Rich, and you've got Tracy Smothers, Big Bubba, Austin Idol, Hillbilly Elmer, which is an interesting...
well, you have a lot of WWF cast-offs here.
Yeah.
Because you got Big... well, first of all, you have Future Tugboat, Big Bubba.
Yeah.
You have and Hillbilly Elmer, a.k.a.
Uncle Elmer.
Uncle Elmer.
Yeah.
He was just Hillbilly at that time. Continental, Kevin Sullivan in the Continental area apparently too. Yeah. I did. That's another thing. I learned that he was in the Continental. He was a champ there for a while. So, and you have your Continental usuals. Let's see, UWF. You got, this is back when Sting. They didn't know where Sting was from.
Oh, he's from parts unknown.
From parts unknown. We didn't know he was from Venice Beach yet.
Yeah.
Nobody told him. Nobody told us. And then you have World Championship Wrestling. You got World Class. You got Dingo Warrior from Queens, New York. Is he really from Queens? I don't think he is.
You know, what's funny is, like, all those after magazines back in the day, even up until, like, the 90s, were billing him as from Queens, New York, even though he was built from parts unknown. So I don't know how much truth there is to that.
Yeah.
I know that he lived in Arizona until he died, so I don't know. I don't know if he's actually from Queens.
I don't picture him as a New York guy.
No, he doesn't have the accent. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So
maybe when he was younger, when he before he became Warrior, like if you saw him like when he first started out at this time,
Jumping Jim Hellwig,
Jumping Jim
from Queens, New York,
and then Florida, you have you have your awesome Florida champions,
Lex Lugar.
Lugar and Ron Bass and Barry Windham. I love Florida. I wish they would put that on the network. So actually, here's I think actually another great thing about this magazine, and you probably missed this here, but they asked for in the November 86 issue of The Wrestler, they asked for people to send in what they would consider the most offbeat ratings they can create.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I did miss this. So you have some great stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just going to read a bunch of these because these are all awesome. 10 most obnoxious wrestlers. Okay. Number one, these are 1 to 10, so we'll just go through this. 1 to 10. Orndorff, Savage, Flair, Michael Hayes, Lawler, Beefcake, Stan Hansen, Jim Cornette, not technically a wrestler, and Adrian Adonis, and Jim Garvin. Okay. 10 biggest bra sizes.
Oh.
Okay. Number one, Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah,
of course.
Sense. Yeah.
Number two, Adrian Adonis. Yep. Number three, King Kong Bundy. Number four, Dusty Rhodes. I don't know. Dusty should be ahead there. I think Dusty should go ahead of Bundy. Number five, Jerry Blackwell. Six, Leon White, a.k.a. Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven, Terry Gordy. Eight, Kamala. Nine, Hillbilly Elmer. And number 10, Missy Hyatt.
Oh, the only woman on the list.
Yeah. They did not add. Yeah, she was the of wrestling women at the time. She was the bustiest.
Yeah.
Number 10 wrestlers who had better retire before they get crippled. So you got number one, Tony Garea. Two, Greg Gagne. Three, Tommy Rich. Four, Steve Regal. Five, Jimmy Valiant. Six, Hillbilly Jim. Seven, Cousin Luke. Eight, Rufus R. Jones. Nine, Rick Hunter. I assume he was some jobber. And number 10, Keith Hart.
Who's going to cripple Hillbilly Jim at this time? That's like his prime.
But Hillbilly Jim crippled himself.
Yeah.
He slipped outside of the ring in the ring chasing Jimmy Valiant and broke his leg. Or Johnny Valiant and broke his leg in the match. That's why he basically debuted, hurt himself, and then he was out. And he never really gained that momentum back. Not that he was going to be like a champ, you know. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Maybe I could see him. I could, if he never got hurt, I could see him probably in the George Steele spot.
Yeah.
Of him against Savage and being in WrestleMania 2. But yeah, that never came to be. Top 10 beautiful blondes at wrestling. This is from Susan. This is from a woman. This is from a woman. It's from Suzanne DeGeorge of Mediara, Louisiana.
Should start and end with Stan Lane, right?
Pretty much. It's a Stan. I think he's got to be on this list. One, Ric Flair. Two, Michael Hayes. Three, Bobby Eaton. Four, Buddy Landell. Five, Hollywood John Tatum. Six, Jack Victory. Seven, Barry Windham. Eight, Buddy Roberts. Nine, Greg Valentine. 10, Doug Summers. R.I.P. Doug Summers.
I guess it wouldn't be fair to put Stan Lane on the list.
No, Stan Lane's on the in a class all of his own.
Yeah.
Here's one I like. Bottom 10 finishing maneuvers. All right. But number 10 is the worst. So number 1, Rene Goulet's Scorpio Claw. Number 2, Landy Poffo's off the top rope backflip. How could you not appreciate a moonsault in 1986? Come on, man. Number 3, Iron Mike Sharp's loaded forearm smash. Number 4, Iron Sheik's abdominal stretch. Well, that's not really a finishing move.
No, his finishing move was the camel clutch.
Number 7, Tony Atlas's big splash. What's wrong with the big splash?
Yeah, that's a great move.
For a guy like Tony Atlas, a big muscular guy jumping on you? Yeah, yeah. That'll put you out. Number 6, Paul Orndorff's sunset flip. What makes his any worse? Number 7, SD Jones's headbutt.
Well, first of all, SD Jones never really won matches, so the fact
I can't think of a single match he's won.
Yes, and the fact that he has a finisher is kind of mind blowing. But
number 8, Moondogs hitting their opponents with their bones.
Okay, come on, how do you want them to win? With a figure four? It's the goddamn Moondogs.
With a brain buster.
Yeah.
Number 9, Corporal Kirshner is doing anything from the top rope.
Okay, yeah, it makes sense.
Well, he just sucks in general. Yeah. And number 10, Tiger Chung Lee's martial arts.
Oh.
So here we got the top 10 preliminary wrestlers.
Oh, this would be good. We got the Mulkeys in there?
No. We had, and there's some surprising choices in here. A few, I mean, not really, but number 1, George Wells.
Okay.
Number 2, Lanny Poffo. 3, Moondog Spot. 4, Les Thornton. 5, Tony Atlas. This is back when he was probably jobbing a lot in WWF before he jumped over to world class. 6, Joey War Eagle. Never heard of him. Actually, he's probably some Indian wrestler that was named something else.
Like Chief Little Lynn.
Chief Little Lynn. Number 7, Italian Stallion. 8, Earthquake Ferris. 9, SD Jones. And 10, Matt Bourne. Matt Bourne, who, I mean, he won a title in this magazine.
Tag team champion of world class.
I don't know, what the fuck? And then we get another list of the same ilk, which has more WWF and NWA names. You have 1, SD Jones. 2, George South. 3, Steve Lombardi. 4, Jake Milliman. 5, Rocky King. 6, Sean Royal of the New Breed. 7, Perry Jackson, a.k.a. Action Jackson. 8, Jose Luis Rivera. 9, Tony Zane, who was a jobber in the NWA. And 10, Bill Mulkey.
All right.
He made it.
We got a Mulkey.
Got a Mulkey. Also, same guy sent in his top 10 wrestlers' foreheads.
Oh.
Okay. Number 1, Abdul the Butcher.
Yeah, that's quite a forehead.
That's a good one. Number 2, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
Number 3, Carlos Colon.
Yeah.
4, Ivan Koloff.
Yes.
5, Jimmy Snuka.
Okay.
Yeah. 6, Bruiser Brody.
Yes.
7, Harley Race.
Yes.
9, Bobby Jaggers. Or 8, Bobby Jaggers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good. If you've seen Bobby Jaggers, you'll agree with that. 9, Tommy Rich.
Okay, yeah, I can make a...
I don't know if so much at that point, but maybe I could see it. And then 10, Wahoo McDaniel.
Yeah, okay.
Wahoo Man, who once famously got the blade stuck in his forehead in the match in Philadelphia, which caused the NWA to get fined or banned because he bled, like, literally everywhere. And the commentary here says, we're surprised that Richard didn't include Prince Iaukea, or as we know him, he was the wizard in WWF when he managed Kamala and Sika.
Yeah.
And Manny Fernandez. And also, you could probably throw in other wrestlers from Mexico. There are some roadmaps in Mexico that are pretty for guys that don't have masks. There's I think one of the Villanos, not only does he have a scarred forehead, but he also has a scarred chin.
Wow.
He has a very, very scarred chin.
One of them is a dentist.
Yes. Yes. And if you're doing this list today, you would have to include Steve Corino, for sure.
You'd have to include Ric Flair. Like, the guy could bleed just by, like, yelling now. Like, that's how bad it is.
Triple H, too. Triple H has got the scars.
Yeah.
He's never gotten, I don't think he's gotten that fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this one a lot. I like that a lot. That's awesome. So, and then the rest of it just, you know, kind of rolled on with the rest of the book.
Yeah, advertisements and continues, yeah.
That is The Wrestler from January 1987. Oh, you're looking at the back
just
here?
Just wanted to see the back cover. So, yeah, you got just the kid with those posters that I love to look at. And I want this poster. The Dream Match, the Rick Martel, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan triple threat match.
Yes.
I want that one.
Also, he's got a very quality horizontal framed Road Warriors poster, and as well as a Slaughter poster. And
Kerry Von Erich working out.
And his desk is filled with Remco AWA toys.
Yes. And they have their accessories, and it's awesome.
He's got them all here. Who's you got here? You got, okay, so I see
Rick Martel.
Okay, is that Rick Martel in the front there?
So you got Rick Martel.
You got the fabulous ones.
The fabulous ones, Baron Von Roschke, and the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have all those figures in my parents' house.
Yeah.
I want them.
There's some of those are really rare.
Yeah. No. I don't have any of the rare ones.
Yeah, you never see
that. The Rockers, the Midnight Rockers are rare. Carlos Colon's rare. Abdullah the Butcher's rare. Scott Hall's rare.
Are they really?
Yeah, Boris Zukov is rare.
I think it's certain cards, yeah, too. There's certain ones that are carded particularly that, yeah, are rare. But, yeah. So I could probably talk about the Remco toys forever.
Yeah.
Those were just good toys that you just saw in like a shitty store, and you're just like, all right, this is what passes as a, yeah, wrestler.
I have the, who do I have? I have Kurt Hennig. I have Larry Zbysko. I have the Fabulous Ones.
You
I have
the Long Riders.
I have the Long Riders. I have the Freebirds. I have Ric Flair. I have Rick Martel.
Did you say you have Larry?
Yeah.
What about Garvin?
Do you have
Garvin
I have
and
Jimmy,
Regal?
I have Jimmy Garvin. I have Steven Regal. Yeah. I don't have Baby Doll, though. And I don't have Precious.
Did they have a Precious?
Yeah, they had one or the other. Yeah.
I didn't know they had a woman one.
Yeah.
Did you have the Ref?
No, I don't have the Ref.
Yeah.
Yeah. My buddy had the Ref. I don't have
Dick Worley action, yeah, figure. Or Gary DeRusha.
Yeah.
Whoever the ref was. But all right, well, that's it for this week's show. Another awesome magazine.
Yes, it is great. We like the wrestler. And, yeah, find us on Twitter. I'm at SweatpantsJoe. Also on Instagram, SweatpantsJoe.
And you can find me at AngryHeroSean on Instagram and Twitter.
And, yeah, Worst Collection Ever with him and his wife, Jen. Find them as well.
Yeah.
And rate us 5 stars over on the Apple
Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts or iTunes, as it was once known or still known.
Tell us your favorite AWA Remco figure. Leave, yes, a review. Give us 5 stars. Spread the word.
Send me an AWA Remco figure.
Yeah.
If you don't want one, especially like a Carlos Colon one. That wouldn't be awesome to have.
Yeah.
I want that one.
Did you use a Jerry Blackwell?
Oh, they had a Jerry Blackwell.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I think he had the smock and everything.
Oh. I have a Kurt Hennig one, but it's on the Hulk Hogan body. So it's kind of weird. So my Hulk Hogan Rocky figure, the from Rocky III, I lost his head and I lost Kurt Hennig's body. So I just put Kurt Hennig's head on Hulk Hogan's body.
Brother.
That's how that happened.
Nice. All right. Well, that's it for this week's show, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.